I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Glad to have everyone back with us today. Blessing to see you all here again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We just ask, Lord, your blessing upon this time together. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom, Father. Lord, that you would give us understanding, Father. Open our hearts and minds to your will. Help us be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Appreciated the songs this morning. The last one there about being thankful. You know, it seems like we're pretty easy to be thankful for the good times, but to learn to be thankful for all things, and they all come from the Lord, and just to learn to be thankful in all of those things. I want to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 14. I want to talk this morning about we've heard, I think someone mentioned they used to talk about the seven deadly sins. I want to talk about two that are probably don't seem as bad, but I think they're just as deadly, and probably more so because we kind of tolerate them. And I think these two often lead to the others. They lead us into the others. If we can just take care of the one that's in front of us and the little things that we guard, these little things, and they keep us on a path that protect us from those others. Whereas if we let down those little things, sometimes they open up doors and take us places we don't want to go. You know, there used to be a song that sin would take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you far more than you want to pay. And you know, we think of that, you know, we just see some big sin that we think we ought to watch out for, but things don't happen all at once. Things in our lives happen on a day-to-day basis. You know, the people don't just wake up all of a sudden and they decide they're just going to go out and be a sinner. It just doesn't happen that way. And being a saint is the same way. We don't just wake up one day and we're going to be a saint today. I mean, it all happens in progression in our lives by being faithful today. You know, these songs that we sing, you know, about eternity and about heaven, they tell us a story of going down a stream, one of them, or going down a river, or walking in a life. It's something that it's this day-to-day walk that we live in that will lead us to where we want to go. A few years ago, we can either choose our destination and take the path that will lead us there, or we can choose our own path. But we must accept the destination that takes us to. And so if we choose our destination and then just love the path that takes us there, no matter how difficult it is, we'll be far better off. These two things, I don't know whether you put them in order, but worry and excuses. I thought about just titling this, you know, I've been thinking about excuses. There used to be a little song about excuses. And it was just talking about people who wouldn't come to church. They were, you know, that was the whole theme of the song, but it just seemed like any little excuse would do, so we didn't go to church. And, you know, I just thought of this, that, you know, whenever we first began meeting, and, you know, we first began following the Lord, I mean, we just couldn't hardly wait till it's time to come together to be with the brethren again. And as time goes on and things, you know, we just pass on time, pretty soon, you know, it's, oh, I got to go to church again. You know, something went wrong. Something happened that is not good along that way. I mean, that's just the whole thing. It just, we're either on that road and we want to be there and we want to follow the Lord and we want to be with the brethren, and then pretty soon we get a little colder, and pretty soon just any little thing comes along and we're ready to jump at doing anything else if it sounds good. We make an excuse so we don't have to be there. And that's kind of the one side of excuses, but that's not really the one I'm wanting to talk about this morning. I'm going to read here in Luke 14. Verse 7, Luke chapter 14, verse 7. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guest when he noticed how they had been picking out of the places of honor at the table, saying to them, when you are invited to someone... Wait a minute. I want to start in verse 16. Sorry. Verse 16 says, but when he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave away to those who had been invited. Come, for everything is ready now. But they, all alike, began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going out to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the master said, what you commanded has been done, and still there's room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges, and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Here's a parable that the Lord spoke, and He's prepared a place for us. He's prepared heaven for us. He's prepared an escape from this world. He's prepared a home for each one of us. And he was talking here about a dinner. But he had invited someone, a big dinner, and right away the ones who were invited began, well, I've bought a piece of land. I've bought some oxen. Another one said, I've got married, so I can't come. So have me excused. At the end of it, it says those that were bidden, those that were invited, shall not taste of my dinner. You know, whenever we think of excuses, that's what they were looking for. And they had excuses. In other words, there was probably a legitimate reason why it was going to be very difficult for them to come. So they were excused, but they didn't taste of the dinner either. You know, and that's what happens with excuses. You know, we begin to make excuses for things that maybe we just don't want to do, things that we can't do. And it may be a very legitimate excuse. But where is that excuse going to lead us down the road? Where is that excuse going to leave us down the road? You know, it may be something very legitimate. It may be something that we think is very important. This one man bought some land. This one man bought some oxen. This other man got married. I mean, you know, these are all things that they thought were very important to them. But in the end, the one who had invited was angry and said, they're not going to taste of my dinner. There's nothing there for them. You see, we forget a lot of times that the Lord is offering us eternity. He's offering us His life. He's offering us the whole world as far as that goes. And He's not going to demand that we come. He's not going to force us. If you have something more pressing than heaven, if you have something more pressing than going to be with Jesus, the excuses will be accepted. No problem. But you will be excused from what He offers as well. See, that's the problem with it. It may be justified, and it may be there may not be not a question about you having an excuse. But when we start using them to keep us from the kingdom of heaven and from God, they're a choice we've made that will separate us from heaven and separate us from the kingdom of God. You see the difference between the seven deadly sins and these two that I think are, well, actually, they're just as deadly. They have the potential to separate us from God. The problem with them is well, we had a good excuse. And so we justify that in our minds. And we just go on with all the regular motions, go right on with everything else, and it looks good. We're not guilty of those seven deadly sins. We're keeping ourselves from them. But we've put a poison pill, we've put a poison pill in our own plans. We've made an excuse, and so we just follow this same old path here, but we've been excused. Another aspect of excuses. You know, I don't know how many times, you know, people tell us, well, you know, if you have any advice for me, if you have something you'd like to share, or, you know, if you have some direction, let me know. I want to hear it. And so, you know, a lot of times, like most things, whenever someone asks me something, I tell them, well, I don't have anything right now, but maybe one of these days, if I see something, I'll let you know. And so pretty soon some little something comes up and we begin to see areas or some things where someone could use a little correction. And so you mention it to them. And right away, instead of saying, thank you, I asked for this, thank you. Glad you told me something. I'll really be diligent to check that out. But then most of the time when that happens is people say, well, you know, this happened, or well, that happened, or well, you know, I'm really can't take care of it right now, or I'm really, there's excuses. And the problem with that is when we have the opportunity to correct ourselves or to do better, And we begin to make excuses to ourselves. You know, it's not the person you're telling, you know, that told you, that tried to help you. It's not going to bother them. What it does, it sets a pattern in our life to where instead of facing something that's right in front of me, I begin to excuse it. You know, years ago I heard about a man, some people were talking to him, and he was a good guy, but there were some things that he did, and it was just leading him down a bad, bad path. And I heard one person say to the other, well, he's justifying himself for what he's doing. In other words, he was excusing himself for what he was doing. When we begin to do something wrong, we quickly either accept it and realize, no, I don't want to go down this path, or we begin to excuse ourselves and make excuses. This song, you know, one of the songs we talked about, our conscience. How to keep a clear conscience. You know, our conscience bothers us, and when it does, a lot of times we just make excuses so that our conscience feels better. But there's a difference between a conscience that feels better and a conscience clear. A conscience that feels better can just take you to the next step, and then you make another excuse, and so your conscience feels better. And it will just lead you and lead you and lead you and lead you and lead you. All with the same little thing. An excuse. Trying to make it better. Trying to make your conscience feel better. A clear conscience is when you're shown something and you act on it. You just, I'm not going to do that. We're going to do better. We're going to not do this. Instead of justifying it, or excusing what I'm doing, I'm going to fix what I'm doing. I'm going to sometimes dust ourselves off and just get right back up and do better next time. But if we start justifying it, that sets us down a road that we're not going to like going down in the end. You know, we have an opportunity. Sometimes there's not very many opportunities, but we have opportunities when someone gives us a little correction to do what we're supposed to do. You know, just the point is whenever someone tries to give you some help and you begin to make excuses about it, that's a bad road to start down. Especially, you know, younger people. I mean, it's just whenever some guidance is offered, you know, you might not understand it and you might not see it, but take it seriously. And you still have to make a decision. Sometimes we don't always know both sides of things. But if the first thing that we hear, or I hear, or something, whenever we're talking to somebody, is an excuse for why they're doing it, that's not a good sign. It's a dangerous thing. Check yourselves. Whenever someone corrects you, doesn't matter who it is, no matter what it is, do you look at it? You know, there's times people have talked to me and I don't know. You know, and I didn't know what to do. And I just told them, I don't know what to do here. Whenever I see something and where I can do something different, I'll be glad to. Instead of trying to excuse and justify and make a reason, you know, we might not see it. We might not understand it. But if the first thing out of our mouth, well, because this happened, we're on a slippery slope. It's a guard yourselves. That's worry. That's excuses. Worry. You know, Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. He has it in His hands. Worry. It is a habit. And it's a bad one. And it's a hard one to break. But if we saw it as something that was bad, as the seven deadly sins, we probably wouldn't do it near as much as we do. You see, worry is one of those things that do a lot of damage to us. For one thing, it's the opposite of faith. You know, these songs that we sang two or three of them this morning that talked about going through hard times. Going through, you know, some days are good and some days are rough. But the hope was not just on the day of whether it was good or bad. The hope was we're going to be with the Lord. And it's not just the up or down of the day that matters. It's the end. That we're going to go be with the Lord. That our hope is not having a good day or a bad day, but our hope is eternity. You know, that's the neat thing about a lot of these songs that we read about or sing. You know, they're looking for something much higher than just whether I had a good day or a bad day or something scary's happened or something blessed's happened. Because that's not what it's all about. We're just called to go through this so that we're looking for a city. We're looking for a city not built with hands. We're looking for an everlasting dwelling place to be with the Father. And that's where our peace and rest and comfort comes from. Not because everything's rosy. You know, that one song said, talked about the roses. Well, thank you for the roses, but also thank you for the thorns. You see, that's someone looking past the day-to-day ups and downs and looking to eternity. No. Whenever we think about worry, it is, like I said, it's a habit. We can be praising just as we can develop the habit of praising just as easy as we have the habit of worrying. We're worrying about something else happening. And you know, whenever you begin to worry or begin to think about it, I want to think about this. There is nothing in the future that can hurt you as bad then as the worry hurts you today. You know, we don't think it's hurting us. You know, it's just something we're doing. But there's nothing that could happen to us that will hurt us. I mean, whatever happens, if we're meet it, walking with the Lord and in faith, whatever thorn comes along, whatever storm comes, whatever cloud, whatever bad things happen to us, can't hurt us. The Lord's just trying to lead us through it. But if we're worried about tomorrow, we're not preparing to go, we're not going to be ready to go through what we may have to go through tomorrow. We get our strength for tomorrow by walking today. By being faithful today. And if our faith is stumbling about worrying about tomorrow, we'll never be able to face what we may have to go through tomorrow. Not counting that 90% of what we worry about never happens in the first place. You know, that's one way of looking at it, to help us not worry about it, because that's usually the way it works. But that's kind of a superficial way. That's just hoping it's going to be a good day tomorrow anyway. The real heart of worry is that when we're worried and not taking faith today, when the sun's shining and we're thinking about tomorrow, we're not taking that step of faith today. And we'll not have the strength tomorrow to go through whatever we may have to go through. You see why it's deadly? You know, how many things have we worried about that never came to pass in the first place? Most of them. You know, we worry about something that might happen, and then tomorrow there'll be something else we need to worry about. If we're spending all our time worrying, we're not gaining the strength we need to be able to go through something that if it does happen or when it does happen. These two things, worry and excuses. Excuses and worry. What I'm trying to show you is both of them seem harmless in the beginning, but they also seal us. And they protect us, not from bad things, but they protect us from our help. They protect us from God. Instead of drawing near to Him, whenever we're corrected or whenever we see or know that we need to do something or want to do something, or whether we're worried about something in the future. The danger in both of them. Jesus just didn't tell us those things because He wanted us to have a good day and be happy all the time. I mean, sometimes there's sorrow, but we can still have peace and we can still have rest right in it. Sometimes, you know, just like I said, two or three of the songs just talked about deep sorrow. Bad things. But God will take us through them if we'll let Him. Don't let excuses and worry rob you of the kingdom of God. You know, we think that it's just robbing me from a little peace and a little rest today, but it's deeper than that. It'll rob us from the kingdom. These men made excuses, and the Master said, don't worry. I'll accept their excuses. But they will be excused from what I have to offer. God isn't forcing us to follow Him. We choose this path, and we choose to let Him be in control of it. We can excuse our ways out of it, or we can think He can't take care of it. But both of them rob us, not only from Him taking us through what we need to go through, but in the end, they can even keep us out of where we're wanting to go. We choose this path. We choose this path. And we say, Lord, lead me. We can say, Lord, don't lead me through there. Don't take me there. And He'll say, okay, you don't have to go through there. But that's the way that leads to life. we choose a destination. We choose the destination. And that's Him. And we accept the path that He says goes there. We can excuse it or we can worry about it. Those things will only tend to take our eyes off of that goal and help us deviate from that path. He's got the whole world in His hands. Or we can make our own path filled with all kinds of bad habits, like excuses and like worry. But we have to take the destination that comes with that path too. The road is straight and narrow, and it's not easy. But the Lord will be there, and He'll guide us through it. May the Lord add His blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Lord willing, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock. God be with you. Lord bless you.